Hello, Facebook. I'm Victoria Hill, the Public Information Officer for the City of Billings. Thank you for joining us on our very first Facebook Live / podcast. We're doing these as a series. We have fire department coming up, we have the PD coming up, and our city administrator also coming up. And you know, we wanted to do these just to give the public a chance to ask some questions. I know Facebook's pretty casual. People feel comfortable on Facebook. So if you aren't maybe comfortable emailing, you can pop in and ask us some questions while we're doing this Facebook Live. But today's Facebook Live segment, our highlight is code enforcement. So we're actually going to welcome Planning and Community Services Department Director Wyeth Friday there on your left. And then within that department, we have code enforcement and the code enforcement manager, Tina Hoger. Thanks, guys, for joining us so
good
very
morning.
Much.
Yeah, yes. Good morning. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Excited to get this idea rolling, and shout out to council member Jennifer Owen, because this was her idea. So it's a great way to communicate and get out into the community. So we asked our Facebook followers for some questions in advance, and we actually got a few. So let's go ahead and start off with asking those. First up here, what is the protocol for reporting abandoned properties? What can the city reasonably do? And my neighbor is a hoarder. Can anything be done about his yard? Also, he has been purposely putting household food in public areas like the alley. Is this something that code enforcement can address? So I'll turn it to you guys and whoever wants to go first in answering that.
The short version to all of that is yes. But to break it down a little bit, your abandoned properties, I have a specific officer that handles those types of properties that are blighted or the building itself is structurally being neglected. Mm-hmm. And that is Officer Simpson, and he is in charge of our nuisance properties. And that is citywide. So he will handle it throughout the city. What can we do about these properties? Well, currently, just like any code enforcement issue, we open a case, we go out and we do our initial investigation, we photograph the violations and document everything. And then depending on the situation, city ordinance, there's there's a whole list of items that could be in violation under the nuisance code. Mm-hmm. So the officer goes out with his checklist, which is basically a mirror of the city ordinance, to see what issues there at that property would qualify it as a dangerous structure or an abandoned property or however the code reads. And at that point, that case would be opened. And in many cases, we can work with the property owner before it has to go to court, but some of these cases do end up in court and could take a long time to get some sort of resolution because they are larger properties to fix or to bring back into compliance. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything to add to that?
Only just really briefly, I guess, just more on the coordination side of things to what how Tina's describing it. This person asked about, you know, some issues with waste in the alley and such. And certainly that anyone can file it, you know, send a complaint in to our online complaint form system for code enforcement. Or call the code enforcement office and get a complaint reported that way to our 237-6146 phone number. But what I was gonna just touch on briefly is if you're talking about things within the alley also, we do work very much with solid waste and coordination and such. So they're talking about some garbage and stuff here. If there's issues with that as well, whether you report it to code enforcement directly or if you contact solid waste, if it's something that you're seeing with garbage cans and such, we can then coordinate with them to address it with the property owner. So we have very good communication ties with different departments, and solid waste is no exception for that. So, mm-hmm.
And you mentioned some contact information and some an online form. So I'm actually going to pop this over to our city website right now. So billingsmt.gov. Hover over your government, go down to Planning and Community Services, and within that, on the left-hand side here, you will see code enforcement. So you can find everything Wyeth was just talking about. As far as the contact information right there, 237-6146. And then also there is a form that they can fill out here online. Remind me, guys, where is that at? City Code Enforcement? Is it under City Code? Do we remember?
I believe that's just going to bring you to the city code library.
Okay, back up here. All right, well, the form is on here, so I was trying to jog my memory on where it might live. Complaint form, here we go. Okay,
left-hand side, complaint form.
All right, sorry about that, guys. So it also gives you a highlight of what you can and can't use this form for. So don't use the form for parking tickets, a junk vehicle on the street, that's actually handled by the Crime Prevention Center. Noise concerns, handled by the Billings PD. So if you do have some of those complaints, like mentioned, you go to this form and you can fill it out. So a tool that's available to anyone and everyone on the city website, just pop right in there and this is how you respond. And that actually leads us to our next question, because someone asked, why doesn't the city notify property owners or enforce sidewalk obstacles like overgrown trees, shrubs, huge mailboxes, trash cans on the sidewalks and not the curb? What is your response to that?
Well, historically, code enforcement has been a complaint-driven division. That has, with the increase of staff and the public safety mill levy, we have kind of made that complaint-driven as well as self-initiated. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if an officer is sent to a street where one of these complaints has been lodged online or however, if they see other violations of a similar nature on that street, they will address them. They will open cases on that as well. Mm-hmm. So if they're sent there for one house, but there's multiple houses doing the same thing, they are directed to look at those violations as well. Mm-hmm. The difference with us is that people can complain online anonymously. We don't require a name or a contact number or anything like that. So it makes it easier for folks to clean up their neighborhoods. Last year alone, we just finished our annual report. These very cases, out of the 3,500 plus cases we had in 2022, 1,500 plus were these types of cases where sidewalks were obstructed or there was trees too low or that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So I'm not quite sure if the person asking this question doesn't feel that we're enforcing them or doesn't know that we're enforcing them, or perhaps maybe it's the education piece mm-hmm. and they would like us to put out more information about that, which we absolutely can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another good point is your department is how many? What size is your department?
I have 7 officers now, 5 of which are residential.
Okay. And we need eyes all across the city all the time, right? To be aware of what is actually going on in our community. But like you said, if they see it, they'll do something about it. Now you did mention the annual report, so I wanna go ahead and pull that up for people. What do you guys wanna point out about this annual report? And here in a minute, I'll show everyone how to get to it if they wanna read it a little more thoroughly.
Sure, and if I can start, I'll just talk about the report in general and then Tina can kind of drill into code enforcement. So we do, through coordination with our city administrator and city administration, we do annual reports for all of our departments in the city. And we just, in literally last week, those were being submitted into the city administration then to be shared with the community and with the city council. Ours is one of those. It's up through the city administrator's weekly report with a link. And then we're gonna also have it on our webpage. But this is the report across the whole department, all the activities and things we're doing, and specifically here you're looking at our code enforcement snapshot of all the activities and work that's been done the last year. So Tina can talk about the details.
So if folks follow these annual reports or even our semi-annual report, they're gonna notice that there's 3 new categories on there that I decided to highlight as well. There was some added responsibilities that we were given. Plus with our restructuring, I wanted folks to see where we were diverting some of our resources to. One of them is we now document how many graffiti cases that we're handling. Landscape compliance by inspections, those we partner with the planning division. And that is basically the final inspection before you get your certificate of occupancy. And then the other one would be the new massage spa ordinance, where we conduct an inspection of the premises And basically that assists them in helping to get their license. And so we're keeping track of those as well. And just trying to be a little bit more specific about where we're doing our enforcements and what it's covering.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then there is another page I wanted to show everyone on this report here. Case closed. You know, people see the problem properties out there, but here are some results that you can actually put side by side for comparison. Tell us about some of these.
Right. So the first one, the first column is before, second column is after. So the first one is a south side property that was burned. It had a lot of illegal dumping. There was squatters in there, people that should not be in there. So we went in and cleaned up the property, boarded it, and then it was to go up for sale here this month, I believe, because it was a foreclosure. The second one is also a Southside property, and that was one that was completely rehabilitated by an owner on the south side, and it looks, I mean, way better. To the point where they can start renting that out to people. And that bottom one is a building that had been around for a very long time. And it was attracting graffiti. It was attracting, people were breaking into it, and who knows what was going on inside of there. So we worked with that property owner. And that's a very large building. So that demolition was pretty expensive. But that building is now down, and that corner could be revitalized into something else. So just to stress that these things don't happen overnight. Some of these have taken years to get to this point, but we do stay on top of them, and we try to work with those property owners to get them into compliance. And all three of those did not require a ton of court interaction.
That's great to hear. One of the properties was a boarded up property, and this is actually something Wyeth I was talking to you about the other day. It's considered a case closed because it's boarded up now, but it can't sit that way forever, right?
Correct. Yeah, and actually thanks Victoria, I was going to chime in on that a little bit because Tina and I were discussing this as well. We have certainly cases where we're dealing with the initial situation, in that case the property being needing to be secured and boarded up. We go through that process, we get it to that point. But that doesn't mean that necessarily that property's up for sale, obviously, so there's potentially some change that's going to happen there that'll move that along anyway. But we certainly don't, whether that part gets addressed, but then the building needs to move forward with some kind of improvement. And so, yeah, there is the issue in that case. If this wasn't to be sold and reworked right now, or if it was to continue to sit there, we would have to follow up with that owner regarding how long the 18-month period that they have for the property to be boarded and secured before they need to go in and put windows, doors, make it look from the outside like it's inhabited. Mm-hmm. So that's something that would potentially carry forward with something like that. And I would just add, in terms of those cases in general, because it's not just that type of case, but because of our added resources that we have in code enforcement now after the passage of the public safety mill levy, mm-hmm. we have with our officers the ability for them to really keep track of the properties and really keep the follow-up going when we have those situations. And Tina's been great overseeing that with them to make sure that that's happening. So that's a positive. If you do see a property and it's moving through the process, we have those officers are really continuing to track them and make sure that they're moving forward, they're meeting the codes and the different steps along the way. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Perfect. And before we get to, we actually had someone ask a question. I'll get to that in a minute. But I did promise everyone I would show them how to get to this annual report Wyeth and Tina were talking about. So again, BillingsMT.gov, go down to Magic City Spotlight. Easiest way to get to the City Administrator's Weekly Report, just arrow over City Administrator Weekly Report, click on your additional info there, and view most recent report. And this is something that our City Administrator Chris Kukulski puts out every week. Again, it's available to anyone who's interested in reading it. It is a PDF, so sometimes it'll take a minute or two to load, but a great tool if you want to know what's going on in the city beyond what's making it into the headlines. You can just check out this. It's usually up by Saturdays. Same spot every week on the website. And this is actually something that the City Council also watches out for and reads weekly. So this is one of the ways Chris is able to brief the city council members. And I'm trying to talk here as this blue line just slowly loads across the screen here, but it'll get there. It'll get there. So anyways, when it loads, you'll see the one of the bullet points, one of the first ones, is a link to the weekly report. And I know as soon as I switch back to me, it's probably going to load here. But the question that I had come across on Facebook is from Miss Catherine Card. She says, thank you for your work. I've seen a lot of improvement. Still would like to know where things are at with the Colonial and 213 South 29th Street. So if anyone out there watching right now would like to ask a question while we're live, go ahead and chime in and ask away. We have Tina Hoger, the manager of code enforcement here, and Wyeth Friday, the director of planning and community services department. So they're both here to answer your questions during this Facebook Live. So I'll turn it over to them and go ahead and give us an update on the Colonial.
So as of, I believe, the 27th, which was a Friday, that case has been filed in district court. And so the owner of that property has retained an attorney, and we have already been in discussion with the owner of that property through his attorney, through the city attorney, and we are trying to move this forward to gain compliance. Mm-hmm. So it is freshly filed in district court, and again, district court can take a very long time if we end up actually going into court. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to get it resolved before that. So, and that's currently where the Colonial is at, and that's the point that we're at with that property.
Okay. And I know once things get into that legal level of action, we do have to be careful with what we say, mm-hmm. what we can and can't say. So we will leave it at that. The county attorney's office, those documents, you can go up to the office at the county courthouse and request those if anyone's interested in reading some further details on that. But something else I wanted to ask personally was, I recently had a chance to sit in on the Rimrock Neighborhood Task Force meeting. And to my surprise, I walked in and Tina Hoger was there. I was like, oh, Tina, what are you doing here? And so she said it's actually something that a change she's made and has in place to where she wants her code enforcement officers to attend the task force meetings throughout Billings. So Tina, tell us about that and your decision behind that.
Well, really, I just stole the idea from the police department. So they have a sergeant that is assigned to each of the task forces. And prior to retiring, I was assigned to one of them. And I thought it was a really good way for the city to answer questions directly to the public. So once I got fully staffed, I proposed the idea, first of all, to the Neighborhood Task Force leadership, to all of the board members, and I asked them if that's something that they would want. They were in agreement. There's about 8 active task forces right now. So between the 7 officers and myself, we each took one as our responsibility. And we just started this in January. So there's been a few meetings that have been attended. Not every task force meets monthly. Mm-hmm. Some meet quarterly. But now the next step is for that education piece. For the public safety mill levy is that we are coming up with monthly basically education items that we want to bring to the meetings so that each task force is getting the same information. So for example, snow removal in the winter and how that ordinance works and how code enforcement is enforcing that. So that would be probably our February topic. And then moving forward, we'll identify those other areas that we want to help educate the public.
Mm-hmm. Okay. While we have you guys here, is there anything that you, either of you, thought about that you want to talk about or mention that maybe you've heard as a concern or a constant question from the public? Wyeth?
I think the thing that's the biggest challenge that continues probably from the public is just the time and speed of being able to address some of our items. And that's, as Tina's just was describing with the Colonial and the filing a case there with district court. And we have many, we have interactions with both district and municipal court. We have cases that go to municipal too. That when it goes into that process, it does often take a little bit of time. However, we're continuing to make some improvements in the process, especially on the municipal court side. District court, we don't have as much kind of control over working and coordinating with the court, but with municipal court, we have, working with the judges and with the staff over there. So we are seeing where the way we prepare our cases when they do go to court, the documentation, that process, the way the officers are prepared when they go in and present the cases, we've made some really big improvements since Tina's been here and working with the new officers. And so that is improving. And so I think, the community may see over time some change there and some of the time it takes from when a complaint starts. And often those ones that are going to court are more significant. We have, where we're talking about property abatements, like you saw in the community or in the annual report, some of those cleanups. But that's really improving. So I think over time that will change a little bit. But it certainly can be challenging with people when they see something and they want it to be resolved right away. We work with property owners, as Tina said. That's really important. And so we do try to, people have different circumstances and we try and work through those with them. So I would say that's the thing I hear the most is probably just like how quickly things are resolved. It doesn't usually happen like right overnight, but mm-hmm. we're working on it. So
yeah, and I think that's something that a lot of people maybe see in movies or TV shows, that action's just taken right away. But I know personally, ever since joining the team here with the city, it's almost actually coming up on a year. There is quite the process to everything, and it's all for a reason. So bring it to your city officials' attention, and then it takes action from there and grows from there. But as promised, we finally got the the weekly report to load. So if you are looking for the report that we were just sharing, it is this link here at bullet point number 2. So you can click on that and the report will load. And you'll get to read through that a little more thoroughly. Something I wanted to talk about, and we mentioned this earlier, were the code enforcement officer areas. I guess break down this map for us. What are we seeing, and explain why this is important to people watching at home?
Well, I think the biggest impact is that we have more officers handling the same size city. So if you look at the two blue areas, that was generally our west end, and that was handled by one officer. And then you had your south side, and part of the north side was a second officer, and then your Heights, Reburg, and part of the north side was a third officer. So that's when they had 3 residential officers. We now have 5. So we were able to distribute the work a little bit more equitably. Officers aren't having to travel as far within their areas. They're able to be more familiar with their areas because they're more concise. And then with the addition of a commercial officer, we now have one that handles all things commercial mm-hmm. throughout the city. And also in addition to our nuisance property officer, who handles all of those more difficult situations throughout the city. So those residential officers are really able to just pay close attention to their areas and really understand what's going on in their areas. And I will say that the officers that work those areas are also the ones that are going to be representing at task force. So the south side officer, she goes to the task force meeting for the south side. So she is able to directly listen to the needs of that area and then act on it. And it's very much the same throughout the other 4 areas as well. We did like a 2-year study to come up with these boundaries as far as the amount of calls for service or the amount of cases. I'm looking forward to seeing what 2023 mm-hmm. will actually look to be. So by semi-annual report in the summer, I'm curious to see where we are as opposed to where we were a year ago, just because of the redistribution and because of some of the things that Wyeth mentioned as far as how we've streamlined our court process. Last year, just since I took over, We had 11 abatements. This year alone, we could, as soon as the weather gets good, we could probably do 13 or 14 that are ready to go. And that's because we've just been paying attention to these cases, and we've also been able to stay on top of them because we have the manpower to do that now. But we also provide them the opportunity to repair it. If they don't, we go to court and we move forward that way, because we have a responsibility to the rest of that neighborhood to get it cleaned up. So we're trying to do that as fairly and expeditiously as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys both for taking time to be with us here today. I really do appreciate it. We're trying to get to that 30-minute mark to give enough people time to ask questions, but I'm gonna throw one at you. Hopefully it doesn't take you by too much surprise. I think there might be a misconception when it comes to snow removal and icy sidewalks and whatnot. So what is code enforcement's status on that? Are you guys waiting for the first snowflake to drop to go and issue citations of any sort? Or is it more of a neighbor noticing maybe they're, hey, my neighbor hasn't been shoveling for the past 5 snowfalls or something like that?
We have complaints come in all the time as soon as it snows, and that's through the online portal, and they will basically tell us if a neighbor is not shoveling their sidewalk in the right-of-way. The ordinance reads 24 hours. You have 24 hours after the snowfall. Mm-hmm. So that's how the ordinance reads, and if they don't, we go out, we put a little door hanger on the door, mm-hmm. reminding them. I'm not interested in citing people. Right. But sometimes people just don't want to do it. And mm-hmm. if you've got children walking to school,
yeah.
and that's their way to get to school,
yeah.
and they have to trudge through the snow or the ice, mm-hmm. you're not being a good neighbor.
Right.
And so I have to address that.
Uh-huh.
And if writing you a citation is the way to do it and get your attention,
mm-hmm.
fair. My officers are encouraged to talk to people. Like, it's not just send a letter or be this faceless person.
Mm-hmm.
If they knock on the door and say, hey, listen, we need to get this shoveled, we need to get it taken care of, we generally have a good response.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't have to go out and remind people to do that.
Right.
They should know to do it. But you have those cases where we need to go out and be that gentle reminder.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the option of citation. To my knowledge, I know we haven't written any this year. I don't think we've written any in prior years.
Okay.
But we do have that tool in our toolbox,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes that gets a person's attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is all about safety. I know just walking my dog around the neighborhood, there are some slick spots on the sidewalk, and mm-hmm. I'm a big chicken when it comes to ice, so I walk very carefully and just pray my dog doesn't happen to pull me right at that moment. But yeah, just it's the matter of looking out for your neighbors.
Right.
You don't want to cite anyone, and we just want everyone to be safe, get home, get to their destination, wherever they're going, without a sprained ankle or maybe even worse, a broken leg or something. So I do want to remind everyone about our next Facebook Live that is coming up this coming Thursday. It's going to start at 10 o'clock, and we're going to have Fire Chief Pepper Valdez joining us along with Assistant Fire Chief Matt Hoppel here. We're going to, again, ask for your questions. We have these events posted on our Facebook page, so you can go through, visit the page, and look for the post, ask your questions, anything you're curious about when it comes to fire department, public safety. We will get those answers for you. We also have coming up the Thursday after that, the police department. We have Police Chief Rich St. John will be joining us on that Thursday, February 16th. That one's at 1:30, and he'll be joined by Administrative Lieutenant Matt Lennick. He'll join us here in the studio. And then the final one comes the last Monday of the month on February 27th. That's at 10:30 with the administration. We'll have City Administrator Chris Kukulski joining us, along with the Assistant City Administrator Kevin Iflin, to get all of your questions answered. If you have any, send them our way. You can comment it. I mean, you can inbox it any way that you are most comfortable with. We want to be able to answer your questions. And these forums are here for you to ask away. So, take advantage of it while you can. I guess I just want to thank everyone for joining us. And this was our first podcast/Facebook Live. So we're going to be uploading the audio version to the Billings PD Unfiltered podcast channel. So if you want to go back and listen again, you can certainly do that. Share with family, friends. Anything stood out to you, you want to re-listen to, you can do that. But I also want to thank the Billings Police Department for allowing us to borrow this space. We're over at the Crime Prevention Center, an awesome podcast room. So we thank them for that. I actually have Sergeant Sam Puckett standing over my shoulder right now, making sure everything's going safe, along with Lieutenant Linick off camera here. But they're my I guess my strength right now to make sure I make this make through this segment all right. But thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you on the next Facebook Live.